This morning, as you listen to our gospel reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew in the third chapter, I ask you to reflect or keep three questions in mind. And look at these questions as epiphanies, revelations, or manifestations of God in the world, in people's lives, and in your own life. The three questions that I ask you to ponder this morning as we read our text here in a few seconds is: what piques your curiosity? What do you hear when you hear a voice from heaven? What is God calling you as an individual follower of Jesus Christ to be as a person of God and as a member of a community of believers? Please stand for the reading of Scripture. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. When Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we take time now to reflect upon your word, to reflect upon your presence in our lives, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Three questions, three ideas, three focus points this morning to reflect upon Jesus' baptism as an epiphany, not just then, but today in our own lives, individually and corporately, as the people of God. The three questions, you may find some interconnection with them, you may not. But there's three things to ponder this morning. And it might be a little bit different or an odd way of going about looking at our text that we have before us. We begin with the first one. What piques your curiosity? What do you find interesting in the reading from Matthew this morning? I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine, perhaps, what's going on. And so let's use a little bit of imagination. Put yourself back in that time, in that situation. In other words, your curiosity of what's happening in life has got you wondering, what is John all about? I mean, after all, everybody's gathered to see John the Baptist at this point. And he's been out preaching and teaching throughout the land, and people are gathering and following him to hear what he has to say, to see what he is doing. And so you and I and others have gathered together. Our curiosity is piqued. We're running after John to go see what's going to take place, to see what's going on here at the River Jordan. And so you are standing there, You're standing there having journeyed to see John the Baptist, curious to hear what he has to say, curious to see what he is doing. Curiosity has led you away from that normal routine of life, and you've gone to the river to see what this is all about, to see what is taking place, to see who's there and who is not there. And in the process, you may ask yourself, why did I go? I mean, what motivated me in my curiosity to go? You ever have that in life and other things where you've ended up going someplace and you don't know why you really went? Why you ended up there? Just out of curiosity, out of questions. I mean, it does happen. I mean, you end up standing someplace and you go, what was I thinking? But there you are. And there we are, standing along the banks of the River Jordan with all our curiosity to see what is going to take place. Curiosity, that thing in our lives that drives that desire to want to know and learn something. Curiosity, our drive and our motivation about questions about life, about how to live together, questions about what do I want to do with my life? What am I going to do today or tomorrow? Curious questions that can come down to the very simple basics of life, such as what do you want to eat? What do you want to drink? What do you want to learn? Do you want to learn something new? You want to learn how to bake or cook? Or maybe it's just sitting there out of curiosity and watching a newborn infant play with their toes. And look at how simple life really can be in pure enjoyment. And watch children as they play, or people as they walk together. Curiosity drives us, and I think sometimes for myself, I think I find questions more interesting than answers. Because if I get an answer, then I get more questions. But it's the question, it's the journey, it's discovering new things about myself and about others around me. So what are the questions that you're asking yourself this morning? Where's your curiosity leading you in life today? What are you trying to uncover? Because in our curiosity, in our questions, there's a revelation that takes place. And what is revealed in that revelation? In some of our questions that take place? Well, let's take a very basic example. Everybody's returned home in the household or wherever you're living. You might be gathering with a group of friends as well to eat. But you gather around table. Could be as a family or a group of friends. Why do you get together? Why do you gather for a meal? Okay, yeah, you got to eat and you got to drink something. Okay? But why do you gather? What happens around that table, even if it's just colleagues and friends at lunch or a family at the end of the day? What do you do? What do you talk about? You ask each other how it's going, right? You're curious about what's taking place in other people's lives. Or maybe I'm missing something. Maybe you're not curious with others. But in the process of that curiosity, what is revealed to you? Say you're struggling with something. You're struggling with somebody at work or somebody at home or somebody at school. You're having a little bit of conflict in that. And in the process of questioning and your curiosity and talking to with one another, what's revealed to you? What's revealed to you a lot of times, I find, is not necessarily answers, but manners and ways in which to address the situation. Manners and ways in which your heart and mind are calmed, even though you may not be able to change the situation, but you are changed. Who's revealed in the midst of that? What's taking place? Who's moving? God. In our curiosity, God is moving to drive us closer to God. God reveals himself to us through the Spirit as we share our lives with one another, as we share those moments in time. There's an epiphany that takes place as you sit at the table and you look across to one at one another, and God is revealed as God shares through the other person in the Spirit life and support. Support. How is God revealed? When you have somebody and you're talking, even if it's a friend, you go for a cup of coffee, say, what happens? God is with us. Emmanuel is revealed. And you're sustained and made whole. So out of our curiosity, out of the mysteries of our questioning, God reveals himself to us. The second one I want us to take a look at is what did you hear or what did you envision when you heard? And when Jesus came up out of the water, a voice from heaven. So, was it the choir? Jesus came up and you get an awe? Is that what you heard? When you hear a voice from heaven, do you have a giant sunbeam coming down? Think about it. What do you imagine took place when Jesus came up out of the water and there was a voice from heaven? Where do we find voices from heaven speaking to us, revealing God to us in our lives? We see it happening here at Jesus' baptism, but this isn't the first time that God spoke to people. Okay? So, we just finished Christmas, and we read through the Christmas story through the Gospel of Luke. How did God, a voice from heaven, speak in that story? Okay, the angel showed up to Mary and said, I got a special deal for you, my friend. You're going to have a child. An angel showed up, a voice from heaven shows up to Joseph and says, don't run away. I'm with you in the midst of all this. An angel shows up to the shepherds and says, go and take a look and see what's taking place. An angel shows up in the dreams of the wise men as they're talking to Herod the night following or in that period of time and says, do not go back and tell Herod where you can find the infant because he has bad things out for him. Voices from heaven. Messengers from heaven. God speaks to them. Another way to look at it is the Gospel of Matthew begins with what? I'm asking, when was the last time you read the Gospel of Matthew? So the Gospel of Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus, his bloodline. Through that bloodline, if you look at the people that are named there and work through, what do you see in their lives? You see God speaking to them in dreams, with angels, through prophets. Throughout that entire genealogy of Jesus, God speaks to the people. God reveals himself to the people. In our own genealogies, it may not be a bloodline genealogy, it may be a faith line genealogy. Think about it. Who in your life has impacted your faith? Do a genealogy that way. And how, when they worked with you, talked with you, taught you, prayed with you, read scripture with you, was God revealed? That in those simple things of daily life that they stood with you as you walked through challenging times that we all have, God is with us. God is with you. God is revealed during that period of time. God throughout time, throughout scripture, is constantly revealing himself through our senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste. God reveals and cares for each and every one of us, claiming each and every one of us as his children. Sometimes we just have to recognize what's going on with what's taking place and who we are. The triumphant God claims Jesus, in a dramatic way this morning, but in a dramatic way on a daily basis, God claims each and every one of us as his children. And we know we're not alone, for God is with us through one another. So perhaps that voice from heaven needs to be recognized through the voices of one another, the touches of one another, the smells, all those things in life that God gives us with each other. God reveals himself to us through that course of history, through living and dying. But as God reveals himself that way, the third area to think about is, how is God calling us as individual followers of Christ as he reveals himself to us to be a person of God and a community of others? How's another way to think about God's epiphany in our lives? How does God reveal himself to you today, here and now? And I'm not going to talk about the sacrament, because that's one too, but that's way too obvious, isn't it? Too obvious to talk about, but we'll talk about it later. But what's another way of God revealing himself to us? If you look at Matthew, in the third chapter, verse 17, we are told that the voice from heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Where else did you hear similar language to that this morning? You heard it. Do you remember? Wasn't it read in Scripture from Isaiah? 42nd chapter, first verse. We heard there that the servant to whom God is talking says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." Kind of sounds like 3:17 in Matthew. "I have put my spirit upon him." Isaiah, the dove coming down. Identification, claiming this is who Jesus is. There's a connection there between the two. But the part that I find most interesting and most revealing of God in our world today is the last part of verse 1 of Isaiah 42, where we read and hear that this servant, that Jesus Christ, whom we claim in Matthew 3 and throughout the rest of Matthew, will bring forth justice to the nations. The servant of God will bring justice to the nations. It's not just a parallel, it's not just a revelation, it's not just a manifestation, but we see God's epiphany, the revealing of God in the world through God's justice. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Can somebody tell me? I'm curious to know. What does it look like? What do you think it looks like? What does God's justice look like?
God's justice is our grace, which is Jesus died for our sins on the cross. That made justice with God. And then, because we believe in Christ, we receive what Christ earned.
We receive what Christ has done for us in justice. It all goes back to the cross that he gave himself for us. So I went and did a little bit further digging, knowing that in mind. So I went and I looked at, who's Jesus by tradition? What is Jesus' religion? What is Jesus' faith by tradition? He's Jewish. So what do? I go look up and understand out of Isaiah that the Hebrew word for justice, mishpat in Hebrew, is an interesting word. So I went further and I looked, okay, I've got that, but where do I really have an understanding? So I went to an encyclopedia written by Jewish rabbis, the Encyclopedia Judaica. And what do they say about justice and God's justice in our lives? Widely, we look at it as a moral value that characterizes how life is lived theoretically, conceptually, and historically. Justice within the Jewish scriptures, our Old Testament, is justice about one of God's greatest attributes. How does God deal with the people with justice? Is he disciplining? Is he causing pain? Does he cause suffering? What does justice look like in scripture? We looked at the genealogy of Jesus and everybody that was there. What does justice look like as he dealt with them? It's God's primary act, justice. Jesus on the cross, God's primary act, justice going on. So bear with me, if you will. With justice, we're called to pursue it. But how do you pursue that? What does it look like? What are we talking about? Deuteronomy calls us to search for justice, and that pursuit of justice is found where? It's talked about in several places in Scripture, but I found Psalm 119, verses 37 to 44, talking about God's justice and the pursuit of God's justice in this manner. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. May your unfailing love come to me. O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I've put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. God's commandments, law, which has it been fulfilled? Who fulfilled God's law?
Jesus
did. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, I have come not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. Because we can't fulfill the law. We can't save ourselves by fulfilling the law. Christ does it for us. But he doesn't do away with the law. Instead, if you look at where Jesus makes that statement in the fifth chapter of Matthew, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, he makes that statement after the Beatitudes. Then he talks about being salt and light in the world. Then he says, I've come to fulfill the law, not do away, but to fulfill the law. And as I fulfill the law, what does that look like? And then he lists some commandments that he addresses. How to pray, adultery, divorce, behavior, conduct. In other words, in fulfilling that law, Christ reveals God's justice for us. In fulfilling it, we see what? What has Christ done? God's justice is justice of mercy and grace, forgiveness, of living together in community, to live together and loving one another as we want to be loved. That's God's justice. And we see that in God's commandments and law. When we think about law and commandments, we think about what we have to do, right? But really what it is, it's curbs in our life to keep us from straying too far. I mean, can you imagine a world or driving in LA with no traffic laws and people trying to obey? How about red lights are just a suggestion? That's what I was taught when I was in driver's ed way back when. They said, just remember one thing. A lot of drivers think of red lights as suggestions. They're not. But God's law, God's commandments are a way of life, of living together, of loving and being with one another, to treat others as you want to be treated. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want the same respect and love that you give to others back to you? And that's God's justice. And in that justice, God reveals himself. When you go to somebody and you've done wrong, and you ask for forgiveness, what happens? And they give you forgiveness. Justice. You're forgiven. It's a different way of thinking in our own lives. The way I like to think of it a lot of times is what Christ tells us is he returns us to being human. We commit an error in life, or you have an accident. You ever had somebody do that, or you do it yourself, where you all of a sudden go, I'm sorry, I'm just human. Right? You're right, bump somebody or run around. Oh, excuse me, I'm just human. Is that being human? To sin? To cause discomfort and pain? No. To be human is to be like Christ, who returns us back to humanity, who returns us back to what we are desired to be. It is to be human is found in Exodus 34 when at the beginning when Moses gives the Ten Commandments back to the Israelites a second time. Remember the first time he destroyed the golden calf with them. Can you imagine going back to God and say, hey, can I get a copy of that? And God did give him a copy. But what he says there before he gives them again a second time, he talks about God, and God is a compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and faithfulness, extending kindness to the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Justice. God's justice. God's justice to us is always loving and compassionate and merciful in our lives. And we are called to live that life, to live a life of justice with God. Through these questions, I ask that you go back to the Gospel of Matthew this week. Read through the Gospel of Matthew. What piques your curiosity? How is God in that curiosity revealing himself, revealing Jesus to you? How in doing that do you hear a voice from heaven as you journey through life? And in that process, how do you see justice in yourself and in the world and live with one another? Because in each of these areas, in one of them, whichever you choose or however you work, what do you see? You see Emmanuel. God is with us. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this day and for all who are gathered here. Bless our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I invite our ushers forward for our morning offering. For offering is another act of worship. As we return to God, what all belongs to not God. It's a recognition that all that we have has been given to each and every one of us.